Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Well, good morning, Three Creeks. My name's Joel, and I am reminded once again how excited I am to have John and Keandre Scott here. It's just so fun to have them a part of our family. And so I know we welcomed them already, but let's welcome them again. Welcome to the fam. Come on. I am more excited now than I was a month ago. It's awesome. I want to echo what John said about Deeper Weekend. If you are the kind of person, you know, you never even open the Bible, or you open it and you just like, you know, what should I read today? And you just flip it and you just kind of point your finger and go, I think that's what I should read. And you kind of hear people say, oh, I studied my Bible. And you're like, oh yeah, me too. But you really don't know how to do that. I would just say, if that is you, that was me for a long time. And Deeper Weekend's perfect for you. The person who's going to teach Deeper Weekend, his name is Ward Wiebe. And he taught me how to study the Bible in 2010. When I went to this place called the Kanakuk Institute, I sat underneath Ward Wiebe. And he's been teaching people how to study the Bible for 40 years. I know no one who knows more of the Bible than Ward Wiebe and how to study it. And you can't miss it. If you're in that category of somebody who goes, I want to know more about how to study the Bible, I hope that's most, if not all of us. Man, you can't miss it. We're in a fun season of our church because not only do we have Deeper Weekend coming up in 2 weeks, but next week we're launching our community groups, right? And we take a break in the summer so that you'll clap in August and September. We give you a break and we tease you a little bit and then we get back into it. I am so pumped about groups starting on the week of September 15th. If you're interested in joining a community group, go to Three Creeks Central after church. There's some forms there. You can talk to somebody there. They'll tell you all about them. If you go online, there's a lot of information as well. And then the last thing, which is kind of, you know, a new thing for me, this is the first time in 10 years that I've actually been able to say this, but let's go Browns, yeah. Right? Woo! Come on. Yeah. I've had to be in hiding for the last decade with that line. And the Browns are playing today and probably won't go well, but hey, go Browns. Come on, man. So fun times ahead. Today is what we call Vision Sunday. It's the one Sunday of the year that we put on the calendar where we say, hey, let's revisit what makes us us. Let's recommit ourselves to it. And today what I want to talk about, I really feel like God put this specifically on my heart as a message for you today. Perfect for where our church is in its lifespan. I don't know if you know this, but we're 18 months old. And we started in February of 2018, and the thing, it almost feels like we're just really getting going in a lot of ways. And I want to go back to something that we talked about very early on and reemphasize how important it is that we would not be an unhealthy church, but a healthy one. And I want to talk about what that means today. I'm very excited, and I'm all week just been feeling like God really spoke to me so that I could speak to you today. So I hope it lands as a word from the Lord and not a word from Joel. Can I pray that that would happen? Is that all right? Father, I come before you and I just admit that I don't have anything too creative to say. I don't have anything to say that will last for a very long time in anyone's life, but you do. You can transform us today, God. And so I pray that despite me, you would use me. Use my words today to penetrate the hearts of people. Help us all to be changed by you and not by anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you ever seen one of these bad boys? This is a dinner cruise. Raise your hand if you've ever been on a dinner cruise before. If you haven't, you need to. Dinner cruises are awesome. You know, you pay one price, you kind of go on there, you get all dressed up. You go on board and they kind of tell you where your seat is. They're saying, hey, have a drink, it's on the house. You kind of sit there. Usually a lot of times there's some form of entertainment, maybe a magician or a band or a speaker or a comedian or something like that. There's usually some sort of dinner entertainment. You kind of go through the meal, you enjoy your food. Maybe you walk out on the deck afterwards and enjoy the water as you pass it by. This is the experience of being on a dinner cruise. If you've never been on one before, you need to. They are a blast. Secondly, you ever been on one of these before? Not as many of you probably. Raise your hand if you've ever rode as a part of a crew team, just a couple of you, just a handful. So I learned a little bit this week about rowing. The boat is actually called, it's not a canoe, that's what I thought it was. It's called a shell. There's two kinds of shells. There's a kind of a sweep boat, a sweep shell, and then there's one that you go sculling on. The different, I don't know, I'm messing this up. Those of you that do it, whatever. And this on the sweep boat, every single person in the shell just has one oar. And they just focus on one side of the boat, one side of the shell, and they just row it. On a sculling crew shell, there's two, you actually have two oars in your hand at the same time. And then you reach out and you got to watch both sides. You got to be in sync on both sides with both your arms. And that team there is called the crew, everybody with an oar in their hand. And then the person at the front, it's called a coxswain. I don't know, never heard that before, but now you can't say that you didn't learn anything today. So you learn something, it's called the coxswain, and they don't have an oar. They just call out the orders. They say, you know, they're in charge of the timing. They're in charge of the team. They're in charge to motivate and inspire and keep everybody in sync. On a boat like this, on a shell like this, there's really not any room for somebody to ride along. Everybody has to pull their own weight. Everybody has to row. Now, let me ask you a question to start off the message today. Which one of these two boats should our church be like? Which one of these boats should our church be like? Let me just tell you, it is very easy for us to want to be the dinner cruise, right? You slip into dinner cruise church very, very easily because you kind of come in, you grab something to drink, you get all dressed up, they say, here's a seat for you, you can enjoy the entertainment, and you know, we kind of end and they say, you know, don't forget your belongings and we'll see you next time. It's kind of easy. It's certainly more comfortable. But the more I read the Bible and the more I study what a healthy church should be like, I just think it's a heck of a lot more like a crew shell than it is a dinner cruise. Right? I really think it's a lot more like the second one than the first one, where everybody in here grabs an oar and starts to row a little bit, where this does not become something that you attend, it becomes something that you belong to, that you are a part of. That's what God invites us into when we are a part of a church. That's why we try not to say that we're going to church. We try to say we're going to be with our church, with our people, serve our church. There's a big difference between going to a dinner cruise church and a rowing shell church. I think if you read this, it's not asking you to buy a ticket to go to a show. It's asking you to grab an oar and get on board and row. And so as Three Creeks, from the very beginning, we have tried to become a church that strives to be a group of people who kind of row together. We go together, we grow together. Everybody here is grabbing an oar and we're rowing this thing along. I think it's a lot better picture of a healthy church. I want to show you a couple verses in the Bible that will explain even better than I can what it really looks like for us to row together. So if you've got your Bibles, go to the book of 1 Peter. It's towards the back of your Bible. It's one of the last probably 6 or 7 books of your New Testament. And it's just 5 chapters long. And let me tell you a little bit about the book of 1 Peter before I read the verses to you. So 1 Peter was written by, you guessed it, Peter. He writes the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' best friends, closest confidants. Jesus had 12 disciples or 12 key men for the duration of his ministry on the earth. And I would say that you'd be hard-pressed to make a claim that anybody else was the leader of the 12. I think Peter is mentioned like 3 times more than any of the other disciples. He was definitely a key figure and a close friend of Jesus. Before he met Jesus, he was a fisherman. So he knew all about rowing. He was a fisherman. In fact, when Jesus called him, he was literally on a boat. He had just come in from fishing, and Jesus said, follow me. And Peter said, all right, I'm in. And so he gave up his career in fishing, and he went and followed Jesus. And then after Jesus was with him for 3 years or so, Jesus dies on the cross, raises from the dead, 40 days later, ascends into heaven. And right before he does that, he says, hey, I want you guys to start this thing called the church. And Peter is one of the key figures in starting the church. After a few years, a lot of the believers in Jesus, they're scattered all over the world. And Peter is, he's kind of respected as somebody who can write a letter from God to the church. And so we have one of these letters. It's called 1 Peter. And I want to read you what it says in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And think about this. Living in close proximity to Jesus Christ for more than 3 years gives us a tremendous example of what it looks like to really follow him. And so Peter gives us these instructions in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking to you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies, and then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Some powerful words. I don't know what you know about the history of our church, but I mentioned it a minute ago. 18 months ago, we planted Three Creeks Church. But a year before that, Morgan and I, my wife, we moved over to Hilliard, Ohio, and we jumped on board with a church over there called Movement Church. And their vision from the beginning of their church in 2012 was to plant another church. And so they brought us on as residents. We were supposed to gather a team to move to Gahanna to start Three Creeks Church. This is in fall of 2016, a couple years ago. Now that we have just seen God do amazing things here, we have another resident who has joined our team. He's actually over at Movement today. His name's Trey. His wife is Sarah. They're the Gilmores. We're going to plant them in 2020 or 2021 in this thing. We're going to kind of keep this thing going. As we've looked back on all that God has done, we decided that we were going to make a video about this and try to document it so that we could show people and encourage people to join what God's doing here. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been filming this thing a little bit here and there. And just last week, Morgan and I were in our house being interviewed. And the person who is interviewing us doesn't really know the whole story. He's the one asking questions. And he asked me the question as we're sitting there. I didn't know what questions he was going to ask. He says, hey, what was the best part of the beginning of your church? Well, he said, what was your favorite part of those first few months? And it kind of took me back for a second. I had to think. I have so many of these favorite things or favorite moments from the beginning. But I answered the question as authentically as I could in the moment. I hadn't given any premeditated thought. I just said, having a front row seat, watching God awaken the gifts in people, watching these people use these gifts to serve others, and seeing them come alive while they do it. I said, I've never seen a group of people be able to identify their gifts, be encouraged to use them to serve one another, and these people are coming alive as they serve one another. I said, it's been my favorite part of this entire thing. Literally that verse 10 says, what does it say? It says, God has given you, each of you, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I've literally seen that happen. I've witnessed it, and it has been unbelievable to watch. And even this week, I was able to just go back in my mind to some of these people who have used these gifts that God has given them to serve one another. I thought this week of Jason Aukerman, who was here since basically, I think maybe week two. And Jason, he loves to work with his hands. His dream is to have like a woodworking shop at his house. He's so handy. And like 3 weeks ago, I texted him and I said, Jason, I have a crazy idea. And he said, let's do it. What is it? And I said, dude, let's come up with a way to just display things in Three Creeks Central. We're gonna have some clothes and some merch and stuff. Let's come up with a way to do that. And so Jason built those three black things, those black boards that are in Three Creeks Central like yesterday or something. And I just thought, man, this guy isn't using his gifts just to serve himself. He's using these gifts to serve other people. Jason's a great example of somebody who picked up an oar and wanted to serve the church. I thought this week of Chelsea Myers. Y'all know Chelsea? She does everything up here. I mean, she sings. She was the one right here singing a minute ago. She designed like most of the stuff that's in the store. If you see a sign or something that you think, oh, that looks good, Chelsea probably designed it. She serves on our creative team that kind of puts a lot of these pieces together, and just the most gifted person in here. And she just constantly is grabbing an oar and rowing this thing with us. I mean, using her gifts. I think of Carol Stewart. Carol Stewart came into our church so early. Is Carol here? I don't know if she's here today. I didn't see her. She might be back with kids today. I don't know. But Carol was like, I don't know if I'm a kids person. I'm like, well, you should try it because we need some people back there. And Carol, you guys, if we tell Cooper, she's my daughter, if we tell her, hey, we're going to church today, she goes, hey, is Miss Carol going to be my teacher today? I mean, she loves Miss Carol. It might be because Carol brings fresh Play-Doh every single week. Could be a part of it, I think. But watching Carol, not only now serving in kids, and she's just kind of made it her own. She owns it back there. But she also joined our creative team. Carol has this rich experience in the corporate world of leading people and being creative. She joined our creative team and brings something to that team that nobody else can bring. It's a gift that God gave her, and she's not using it to serve herself. She's using it to serve her church. Just this morning, I came in here. There's a person, the other girl, a woman that was singing over here, her name is Lisa, and Lisa's got two kids. And Lisa, she actually texted me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, my husband's job kind of changed, and so it's going to be hard for me to sing. It's going to be hard for me to use that gift because I'm going to have my kids, and I don't know if I can be at rehearsal early. And I just was like, man, I'm sure there's got to be somebody who in our church who would come maybe and watch your kids. And I saw Lisa pull up today, and I was like, hey, so I guess your husband's watching your kids. She goes, nope, they're in the back of the car. And so she pulls them out, and I said, well, what are you going to do with them? And she says, Lori's going to come. Lori Schaffner showed up this morning at 7:45 a.m. and served our church by watching Lisa's two kids while they had band rehearsal. And I'm thinking, Lori's given up her time, her energy, her sleep to come and serve the church, grabbing an oar and rowing this thing together. I could literally tell you 100 more stories of ways that I have seen people use their gifts to serve our church. And what this thing is saying is God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And so what it's not saying is that God has given some of you a gift. This is saying God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And God wants you to use them to serve one another well. That's why I get a little confused. I don't know about you. I get a little confused when I hear somebody say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, you don't. That's not one of the prerequisites. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But I just get a little confused when somebody says, you know, I just connect with God. I listen to podcasts and I listen to worship music and I love to connect with God in creation, just being outside. That's kind of my church. I'm like, me too. Like, I love to do that too. I listen to podcasts. I love worship. I like being outside. But I'm a little confused because if that's all you do, you're not serving anybody. You're not serving a single person. You're just intaking, and there's not a place for you to use your gifts to serve anybody. And so I guess I just get confused. I'm like, well, okay, the definition of a Christian is not going to church. That's not the definition. The definition of a Christian is somebody who follows Christ. Somebody who follows Christ is essentially saying, I want to be like him. I want to be an imitator of him. I want to embody his character. The character of Jesus Christ, maybe above all else, is that he did not come to be served, but to serve. And so I just get a little confused when I see people who aren't serving anybody who claim to follow Christ. I just think that's kind of a lofty claim maybe for someone to make. Listen, I don't want you to come to church because, you know, your spouse wants you to. I don't want you to come to church because you think it's a good idea. I don't want you to come to church because your family has always gone to church. These aren't the reasons why I would love for you to come and be a part of this church. I want you to come to this church because we need you. Because you've got a gift in you that somebody else in here doesn't have. There's a great variety of gifts, and God does not give all of them to any individual person. He spreads them out, and I'm just saying, we need you to pick up an oar and row with us. That's really what we need you to do here in our church if we're going to be a healthy church. Look what Peter writes. He gives us two examples. He writes, do you have the gift of speaking? And then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. He gives us two examples. He goes, if you've got the gift, you got to use it. Don't conserve it. Don't wait till later. Use it. You go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have enough energy to keep that up. It says that God's going to give you more strength and energy if you honor him by using the gifts that he gave you. There's actually three or four other passages in the New Testament that list out different spiritual gifts. Let me just ask any of you guys if you feel like you have any of these. The first one is the one that Peter mentioned. Do you have the gift of speaking? Do you have the gift of speaking? Let it be a person that it is as though God is speaking through you. I'm just telling you that if you have that gift, we need you to pick up an oar and row this thing together. Do any of you guys have the gift of helping others? It's a spiritual gift where you long to help other people. I know students at Ohio State that can't get here because they're freshmen, they don't have a car, and they don't have enough money to Uber here every Sunday. Would you say that you have the gift of helping others? We need people to go there and pick them up. We need to row this thing together. This is not a spectator sport. We need everybody grabbing an oar and rowing this thing together. Do you have the gift of leadership? I want you to know that there's a role for you in this church. We need you. We need you to use that gift. Do you have the gift of administration, of being organized? I need you very badly, okay? Very badly, I do. I'm a little all over the place. Erica Kambitz, who's on our staff, has the gift of administration. She keeps us on the tracks, and we need more of you to help us. We need you to pick up an oar. We need you to row this thing with us. Do you have the gift of encouragement? That's a gift. Some of us are literally spiritually gifted to encourage people. If you have the gift of encouragement, you need to use it. You need to be the wind in somebody's sails. You need to be the answer to somebody's prayer. You've got to encourage people. Do you have the gift of evangelism? You just love telling people about Jesus. We need you to use that. We need you to be an example for the rest of us who need to grow in that. Do you have the gift of mercy, where you just feel for people who are hurting? I thought my wife had the gift of mercy, and then I got sick. She thinks I'm faking it. And it makes me think, am I faking it? Maybe I am faking it. Do you have the gift of faith, where you could pray for somebody on someone's behalf who doesn't have as much faith as you? That's a spiritual gift. Grab an oar. Quit letting that thing rest idle in your life. Do you have the gift of generosity? People have a gift of generosity. We need you to be a model, an example for the rest of us to live generously. God gives different people all these various gifts. And can you imagine being the gift giver and watching somebody not use it? You ever given a gift to somebody and they don't use it? It's so annoying, right? You're like, I bought that for you. Use the gift. Grab an oar. Grab an oar. When we started our church, I'm interested to see how this goes here. When we started our church 18 months ago, we had 60 people at our very first meeting in the river of the basement. In the basement of the river. The River 104.9 building, they were so generous to let us meet there for a while during our launch team phase. We had 60 people. Over the course of a few months, we grew to about 100 people. So let me see a show of hands. Raise your hand if you joined Three Creeks while we were in the basement of the river. Look at that. I mean, there's some. It's not an overwhelming majority for sure. What has happened, you guys can put your hands down, what has happened is because of many of you, our church has grown and more people are being helped to find and follow God in this church. Raise your hand if you have come to Three Creeks since then. Look at that. And I just got to tell you, when we had those first 60 or so, it was like, hey, everybody, we need all hands on deck. You all have to be there every week. Everybody has to serve. Everybody has to give. We need everybody all the time. And most of them, maybe all of them, man, they honored their commitment and they were there a lot. There's never been a better launch team in the history of churches, man. I love these people. And the first thing that I started to pray for whenever we had this original all committed team was what I called the second wave. I started to pray almost every day for what I called the second wave. I would just say, God, we need your help. We need a second wave of people. I know that these 60, I know that they're giving it everything they got. And there's gonna come a moment when they need some reinforcements, when they need some people to come behind them and start serving with them. And I've prayed for the second wave. And so I did not know how that was gonna go there a minute ago when I asked you to raise your hands. But as I look around and I see a vast majority of the room raise their hands, I just gotta tell you that you're an answer to my prayers. That I see you and my faith just skyrocketed because I'm like, God heard me. God answered my prayer, and God has brought this unbelievable group of people called the second wave into our church. In a lot of ways, the launch team built the boat, and second wave, I need you guys to start rowing it. You tracking with me? I mean, that first group, they're still serving on a team, probably two of them a lot, like two teams per person. I'm still getting on them. But you second waivers, man, those of you guys that have come in since then, tons of you guys have joined a team here at Three Creeks, but there's a bunch of you guys who just, you know, you're kind of waiting to see where you fit. I'm just like, God put a gift in you, a great variety, and you're supposed to use your gifts to serve one another. Can I just tell you maybe a couple of the specific needs that we have, and maybe as I share one or two of these, you might go, I think I could feel that because God did give me that gift and I do feel like I want to serve my church. Let me just tell you about a couple of the teams that we have here and see if any of them strike a chord with you. The first team that we have that I want to tell you about is our First Impressions team. Our First Impressions team, they make the coffee. They're the people parking you out there. They're the people holding the door. They're the people that do our time of giving. They're the ushers. They do a lot of things. We ask them to kind of do something different almost every week. It's kind of a welcome team. We won't want to be the coolest church in town. We want to be the warmest one. And our First Impressions team is the team that carries that weight. Right now, we have 42 people on our First Impressions team. And we need 10 more people to join our First Impressions team to make that a strong, foolproof, well-equipped team. And as a representation of the First Impressions team, I've just got a little cup of coffee here. It's the team that makes our church feel warm and welcoming to somebody who hasn't been here yet. If you've got the gift of hospitality, if you want to help people, if you just love being around people, meeting new people, if you want to serve behind the scenes, kind of wearing a yellow vest in the parking lot, and that's just what you want to do, man, we would love for you to join the First Impressions team. The next one is our prayer team. I got a pack of mints because when you come forward to pray, you're not looking to find out what they had for breakfast, right? And so I've got a pack of mints that represents the prayer team. Right now we have 20 people on our prayer team, and we need 6 more people who feel led to just make themselves available to pray with people. If you have the gift of mercy, if you have the gift of wanting to help people, if you have the gift of faith, if you have the gift of evangelism, if you feel like just making yourself available up here on a Sunday morning on our prayer team, if that would be for you, we need 6 people to join that team to make it healthy and strong. I'm talking to you, second wave. I'm also talking to folks who have been here since the beginning who are maybe on another team. The prayer team is the perfect team for you to join. If you're going to be here and if you're going to be here anyways, you may as well pray with people if that is what God has equipped you and inspired you to want to do. The next one is our production team. I didn't really know what to get, so I got these because it's kind of nerdy. But I mean, you guys are like, what are those? I'm like, these are headphones, okay, AirPods. You guys thought those were cool, and now they fall out of your ears. These are better, okay? Actually, let me try these on. Should I try these on? It's kind of exciting. I haven't touched these in a decade. Now we'll leave them like that. We have a production team. We've got 16 people on our production team right now. Actually, maybe 14. I think we got 14 people on our production team right now. We need 6 more people to make that team strong and healthy. We've got people that run sound. We've got people that run slides. We've got people that run lights. We've got people that run cords. We've got people that kind of produce what we're doing here. And if you would just say, I'm I'm tech savvy, or I just have an aptitude to learn things like that quickly, like computers and lighting programs. If that's you, I just got to tell you, it isn't me, okay? It's not me. I don't even know what they do. And so I thank God for you back there, team. But if that's you, we need six of you guys to go and make that team strong. Another team we have here, my favorite team. I'm a little selfish, but it's all right. We have a setup and teardown team. Right now, we have 18 people on our setup and teardown team. We show up at 7 a.m. We set up from about 7 until 8:15 or so. A lot of times, the setup team goes out to breakfast between then and when church starts. It's a really close group of people. And then after church is over, 15 minutes after the service ends, we tear down. It takes us about 45 minutes, and we're out of here by 12:30 or 12:45. And we need 10 more people to make that team a lot stronger. Those 18 people are carrying a little bit too much of the weight. And so if you would say, you know what, I just want to serve behind the scenes. I just want to help people. I can get up early. I can make that commitment. We really need you to join that team. I'm telling you, this doesn't happen automatically. The school doesn't do this for us on Friday afternoons. We do it on Sunday mornings. And we need 10 people to come and make that team strong. And the last one, I said that was my favorite, but this is actually my favorite. I got a bottle of bubbles here that represents Three Creeks kids. Erica Kambitz back there, she has built an army of incredible Three Creeks kids volunteers. And she has 50 people on her team. I just want you to know that I talk to other church planters and pastors and tell them that, and they have 18 or something on. It's crazy. Erica has built an unbelievably healthy Three Creeks kids team. But we need 10 more people to make it strong and full, where everybody's serving every 3 weeks or so. We need people. And I just got to ask you two questions about this. Number one, can you think of an investment that you could make that would be more impactful than one in the spiritual lives of the next generation? Can you think of an investment you could make with your time that would carry more weight than spiritually investing in the next generation? Can you think of a way that you can help an entire family grow spiritually more than serving in Three Creeks Kids? Because what that does is that allows every mom and dad in here to put their kids in Three Creeks Kids, to come in here distraction-free, to sing, to learn, to grow. They take what they learn home and they apply it in their homes. I'm just trying to come up with something that would have more of an impact, and I'm not sure if I can. We need 10 more people to make that team strong. Do you know what will happen if you start to use your gifts to serve one another well? Do you know what will happen? There are a few side perks. The first is that maybe you might meet some people in our church. You might build some friendships. It might kind of add value to your experience here. Maybe you wouldn't feel like you just go here, but that you're a part of the church. That would be a positive thing for you. You get a free t-shirt. Side perk, right? Join a team, get a free t-shirt. Kind of cool. Those are all side benefits to joining a team. Peter tells us the ultimate reward of what happens when we use our gifts to serve one another well. In verse 11, I already read it, but I'll read it again. It says, "Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." Then everything that you do, every time that you serve, use your gifts to serve other people well, this will bring glory not to you, this will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all the glory and the power won't go to you, it goes to him forever and ever. Amen. Everything we do. Using the gifts God gives us puts God, the gift giver, on display. Think about how this works itself out. Put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's coming in here for the very first time. They don't know about church. They don't know about God. They're just seeing what it's about. And they come in here. Can you imagine being that person coming in here and just watching everybody sit and watch one or two people use their gifts? Does that put the gift giver on display in any way? Really? Would you feel compelled, if that were you, to join the sitters? Would you think, oh, I want to go just kind of watch somebody else use their gifts? I just don't know that that puts God, the gift giver, on display. I don't think it gets him glory or credit. I just think it just seems like a show. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. put yourself in the shoes of somebody who comes in here. They don't know God. They don't know church. They're checking things out. And they come in here. They go, it just seems like everybody's playing a role here. It just seems like everybody has a gift and they're using it here. It just seems like people have value and purpose and they're getting great joy from serving one another. This doesn't seem like it's focused on any person specifically. This just seems like a group of people that really love God and want to serve him and serve one another. I think that is a far more compelling environment for somebody who doesn't know who God is. You track with me on that? I told this to our church in the very beginning. I said, you are not going to come here and consume and be comfortable at the same time. You're not going to come here and do that. That's not what a healthy church looks like. You're not going to come here and just sneak in, sneak out, and be comfortable. I'm going to constantly invite you into something that is far greater than that. And it's serving God and serving one another with the gifts that God gave us. Do me a favor as we close this. Let's have everybody do this. You're not committing to anything. I'm not going to steal these cards. I promise you can fold it up and put it in your pocket if you really want to. But go ahead. There's a white note card underneath your chair, and there should have been a pen on your chair. And whether you've been here since the very beginning or this is your first time ever, I promise you, I'm not going to make you do anything with this thing. But on that card, would you do two things? Would you write your first and your last name? And would you write your phone number? I swear I will not make you do anything with this. Write your first and your last name and your phone number. I thought about getting little note cards that were shaped like an oar. I was like, that's kind of expensive. So these are pretty cheap. This is your oar. This is the gift that God gave you. It is represented in the card that is in your hands. God has given each one of you, not some of you, each one of you a spiritual gift. He chose them from a variety of spiritual gifts, and he gave it to you so that you could serve each other well. In a minute, the band is going to sing a song again. We're all going to stand up. And I'm just asking you, here's what I'm asking you to do. If you are a part of that original team, if you're already serving on a team, if you've been here contributing or whatever, I want to ask you, as this song is being played, I want to ask you two questions. The first is this. Maybe you might join something like the prayer team or the setup and teardown team in addition to what you already do. You're like, oh, that's a lot. I'm like, hey, God said he would give you the strength and energy to do it if you want to use your gifts. That's the first question I want to ask you. Maybe you might add the prayer team or the setup and teardown team, or maybe it's time for you to even switch it up. Maybe you've been on First Impressions and you're supposed to go join the kids. That's cool too. I'm just asking you to kind of re-identify and reconfirm what your commitment is to your church. And the second thing is this. I do want to acknowledge that there are some people in here who have been serving like crazy and you're tired. You are worn out from being here so much. And I want to invite you to pray and ask God that he would give you more strength and more energy, because the Bible says that he will. And so I want you to ask God that he would do that he would replenish your tank. And if you are here and you're like, hey, this is my home church, but you're not on a team yet, I'm not asking you if you want to join one. I'm asking you which one you want to join. Right? I'm saying, hey, this is so clear. This is so clear. We're supposed to use our gifts to serve one another well. On the back, right back there, if you can turn, look right back there. There's a table. There's 10 coffee cups, and those represent the 10 people we need on First Impressions. We've got 10 bottles of bubbles. That represents the 10 people we need on kids. We've got 7 packs of breath mints. That represents 7 people we need to join our prayer team. We've got 10 pairs of gloves. Look, you get a free pair of work gloves. We've got 10 pair of gloves that represent the 10 people we need to make our setup and teardown team strong. And right back over there, we've got 5. Here's the 6th one. We've got 6 sets of these bad boys for the 6 people that we need to join our production team. If God is putting this on your heart, if you want to grab an oar, if you want to row with us, if you want to join this healthy church that does not come in here and consume, but if you want to come and contribute and complete what the church should really be like, then at any point during this next song, I just invite you to kind of slip out of your chair, go back to one of those tables, just put your white card with your name and phone number on that table, and take that cup or that bottle or whatever that item is, take it with you as a reminder to you that you're in, that you're going to use your gifts as a visual to even the other people in this room to go, hey, I'm lending my sword to the fight. I'm going to grab an oar. I'm going to row this thing. This is not a spectator sport. I'm in. I want to use what God gave me. Then visually, we would be able to see the church rallying around one another and continuing to try to serve one another. It would be a tremendous encouragement to everybody who's been here. It'll be just to walk back there and go, man, these things just keep get taken away. That would buoy all of our faith. It would encourage all of us. And so while this song is being played, if you want to join a squad, if you want to join a team, we invite you to just put your card back there. We'll just call you this week. We'll set up a time where we can talk more about your schedule and how it fits into what we're doing. Bow your heads where you're at. Let me just pray for you. God, we want to be used by you. That's it. We want to be used by you. We want you to get all the credit, all the glory. We want you to get all that you deserve, God. We are not out here going to serve for our own promotion. We're not out here to do it so that people will clap for us. We're doing it so that people will clap for you, that people will see your church and go, those people are gifted by God, and God is a generous gift giver. Lord, I pray right now that you would inspire some folks in the room to go back there, to join a team, to grab an oar and row this thing with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.